You gotta give stuff a try, man. Give it a try.
I'm still trying to get into that Clockwork Orange. What does that mean?
Star Wars.
I don't know if this will help you, but like...
Yeah, we have them. Yeah. All six.
I've been wanting to actually read them. Just,
they're out there.
I might just have to check
I'm a
out
Star Wars fan. They're out there.
I want to watch those as movies. I've read some Shakespeare, and I decided that, you know, he died 500 years ago, and no one has written like that since. So
doeth or doeth not.
I'll read anything. I'm a book whore.
My name is Nathan Ferrugia. I'm the author of The Chimera Vector, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library. I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop License to Read, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with...
Luis,
Jonathan.
Lenny.
And in this episode, we're going to be looking at the novel Drowned by Nicola Riley. She also allowed us to read this by sending us a couple of reader copies, so thank you, Nicola, for doing that for us. One of the interesting points that we've been talking about before we actually went on the air, that this is a pen name. Her actual name is Sin Balog, and she's written a few other books in her actual name. So if you're interested, you can look up both of those, and I'll have links to those, I think both web pages, if not that, some of her Facebook pages, so you can get some info on that. But to get the ball started, Ko is one of the few remaining teenagers on the Island of Tides. Deformed and weak, she is constantly reminded that in a world where dry land dwindles at every high tide, she is not welcome. The only bright spot in her harsh and difficult life is the strong, capable Taim, but love has long ago been forgotten by her society. The only priority is survival, until the king falls ill, leaving no heir to take his place. Unrest grows, and for reasons Ko cannot comprehend, she is invited into the privileged circle of royal aides. She soon learns that the dying royal is keeping a secret that will change the world forever. Is there an escape from the horrific nightmare that their island home has become? Ko must race to find the answers and save the people who she cares about before their world and everything they know is lost to the waters. And this is one that it's... The front of the book is pretty desolate. I don't know if you want to pass it around. Yeah. It's just
it also never happens in the book.
True. It has Ko has Ko on a wooden raft in the middle of a great expanse of water. And this opens up, and Lynn's going to have to help me out here because he's the only other one that's read it. Jonathan and Luis are going to test our knowledge on this.
How was she deformed?
She was missing her hand.
She was missing her hand. How'd she lose her hand?
Wasn't it probably about mid-arm?
Yeah, it was more than her hand, but there was... maybe it was pretty close to the elbow. She didn't have much.
It looks like from my...
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Like, she didn't... She talked about using the nub.
Was she born this way? Or?
No.
There are creatures...
And that's actually a part of... A speaking point on the book is that the way that it happened to her is... Yeah, I'm sorry. He was starting to say... The Scribblers...
There you go. Great name.
What are
they? Weird.
They're described as huge lobsters, but obviously they're better suited for fighting humans than a lobster would be.
So they're mud crabs.
But they use sort of, yeah. They have a sword bill, and that is what they attack with.
Yeah.
It's and a very
they can
crustaceous.
They're in the water, but they can go
burrow
and
they've learned apparently recently to burrow like sand sharks.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think they're called scribblers because I guess the design they leave in the sand.
Like scribbles?
I don't know.
Yeah,
how they got
yeah that, the designs in the sand are where they got the name, but I think that's also like just from attacking the people on shore. Because even when they couldn't burrow, they would attack people on shore. So this is what happens. This place is called Tides because every bit of the entire world is ruled by the tide. There is an island. It's a pretty big, expansive desert island with a hotel. Sorry, I messed that up. A castle.
A
castle with a tower.
Spoilers!
Sorry about that. I guess, yeah, we are kind of doing a little bit of spoilers here. Spoiler alert. with a big tower in the sky and then a big platform separate. And it's a big platform, but it's not so big that there's enough room for everybody. And when the tide comes in, everything on this entire island, including the castle, except for the tower and the very top, very center of this platform, goes underwater, and these scribblers come and
start picking them off
until and they you know, sometimes rogue waves hit these people that are standing like 400 plus people standing out on this platform daily as these tides roll in. And
confused me at first, because when they first said platform, why are they on this wobbly ass platform?
Right.
But then finally I was like, okay, it took me probably the first two chapters to really start say, okay, I got you now, let's roll. Because it took me a while to picture that platform. I was like,
it was a little tough at first. Because
I was looking
at
this platform that it waves in the wind and, and it holds 400 people. I'm like, damn.
The description of the building of the platform in the end of the book helped a lot with the understanding of how it looks. Well,
and it's kind of a cast. The youngest to the most resourceful people get in the center. The ones that are old or feeble or
anyone
whatever,
people don't like,
they get the outer ring.
They get the outer ring.
So that way, if it comes in, gets those
they
first
get
those before
first,
the middle,
not the stronger people.
And only because of extreme negotiating skills, apparently, by the elders of this society that is completely in decline. They have very little law left. And for some reason, the few children that remain in this society, because they like it says in the back of the book, they abandoned love. There's no room for it. There's no place for it. There's no privacy. They live on a tiny island that gets drowned every day. And they've abandoned that, but they have a couple children because people did manage to find privacy.
Right.
They have some children, and for some reason, because they're so barbaric, they do still keep the children in the center, though no one wants them there, and they're real bitter about it, and they treat them terribly. Yep. The youngest person, this is in the beginning, so I can give this away, no more spoilers, the youngest person on the island, pretty much the youngest person on the island has to clean out the crap house. They call it a more colorful word than that.
After Ko gets graduated to the Royal Age.
And so there's a younger girl than her, but only because the younger girl doesn't have to do it because they hate Ko even more because she's deformed. So that makes her younger.
That makes her worse.
So she's the one cleaning out the crapper at the beginning of the book. And then it graduates to...
Yeah, everyone tells her that she stinks like poo.
Fern.
Fern's the little girl.
She gets that chore. And she is kept through the whole story. So it follows Fern, Tame, Ko. Then we eventually come across Princess Star, and her father is King Wallow. Then eventually we have the mystery of the Dark Girl.
Which sounds like Adventure Time.
Who's the other?
It's just this weird name.
Star. All I can think of
King
is the Wallow. Bad guy.
I didn't write that one down. He was one of the fishermen. I remember
one,
that.
Yeah,
much.
One of the fishermen is the enemy of the boyfriend. I can't remember his name either right now. Now I feel like a jerk. I thought it was a good book. It was a quick read, and I really enjoyed the aspect of the tides.
What shocked me
was horrifying.
Is this is a pure, sci-fi dystopia book, and it's printed by Harlequin Teen. There is some romance, but not that much, really.
One kiss, maybe, in the book?
So that was kind of shocking that Harlequin Teen picked it up.
I think that's more because of the author. If you've seen the other books she wrote, I think they were more like Harlequin Teen.
But this one was written really well. I enjoyed it. She leaves off where it could be a one-off or it could be a series.
Yeah, she could continue or she could leave it as it is. Either way would work. I enjoyed it for what it was. And if she continued it, I'd follow her.
I would follow it to kind of give some of the stuff. Trying to think of what to say and not give too much away.
Yeah, I've already failed at that miserably, so good luck.
She gets promoted to the Royal Aides, but that is because of the behest of Tame. That's how I pronounce his name anyway, is Tame.
Works for me.
And he is brought into King Wallow's service because Wallow wants him to be the next king. And he makes an agreement to bring in Ko as the new royal aide to Princess Star. But then as the story develops, there's also an underlying reason for that
She had her reasons for that, too. And but Princess Star is another really interesting character to me because she is so superficial and... She doesn't know what's going on. Like she's in her own world.
She's naive and it's mine, me type of personality. Yeah,
to the point where she will kill you. I think that she would go that far as to kill you to have it the way she wants it. And I think if you read that book, you will understand what I mean there. But she's an interesting character. And there is a lot of most of the people in the book I would not want to be friends with, except for maybe Ko. And I mean, probably her, but after she's hung out with these other people, I'm afraid that I would take up too much of the bed and get shanked in the night. These people are very... Savage is a nice word for them.
Ko is the most closed off.
Yeah.
So she's the closed off character. Tame is the most likable guy in the world, so that's his character.
So they immediately try to kill him. No.
And then, like I said, we can't remember his name, but there was another fisherman that he's roughly the same age of...
As Tame,
maybe a little older, but he was expecting to be the heir apparent to marry the Princess Star instead of Tame, and it didn't happen, so that's why all the conflict arose. And without a conflict, of course, you can't have a story.
Right.
But there's also the underlying mystery of the castle, and then it has catacombs underneath that we discover through various means. So the mystery is what this world is, what it relates to. Linny has already relayed that, it is part of Earth and kind of think of a water world.
I did think of water world. And I thought these are the people that were really far removed from these really well-developed, smart people in Waterworld that could invent things that keep themselves alive. And these people are just over on the other side of the planet, just like, oh, no, here comes the water. We better build this a bit taller. and then they're like, okay, well, we're at the water line, so we'll just make it real flat right here so that if there's any kind of wave...
warship on us.
Or anything else comes out of the sky or water... We're like a blue whale flaps its tail too close. We're all dead. Yep. And that's how they chose to live the rest of their lives. And it's just, I think the barbarism is my favorite part of it. I mean, it's the story about Ko and her struggle for survival is interesting, but the barbarism of the people and how far they've fallen is just amazing.
Gonna get you.
They're terrible. That's a lot of the fun of it.
And of course, the other interesting fact is, like we've been mentioning, Ko is deformed. You don't have very many lead characters.
I'm not going to give away.
So that was good.
So I'm not speaking about her deformity other than I believe it was more than her hand. Thank you.
So that was one where it's like that was refreshing to see that type of character in a lead role. So that in itself is kind of a change in perspective of some of the sci-fi novels.
Can I ask
a
personal question to Lenny?
A personal?
Well, not that personal, but like...
Hang on a second. Go for it.
How does her writing style differ from your writing style?
Well, I think that for one thing, that her writing style is definitely more emotionally based. Whereas even though I do try to put a lot of emotion into it, I still try to give you the chance to have the emotion. I don't really. It's from mine. The only one I have to go on is from a male perspective instead of a female. And so he himself is not an emotionally driven person, and he doesn't talk about his feelings, and he doesn't think about his feelings. He avoids his feelings, and Richard knows. He's been reading about him a little bit, and so I think that.
But she's writing to her audience, too.
Right. I think
this is a teen novel. She's writing it for a teen audience.
I think the big difference between her writing and mine is mine's a little bit more graphic. Just like Richard just said, I'm not writing that. At least I haven't written to a teen audience. I think it's very good. It's hard to that's a tough question to answer. I hope I'm as good as her. Thank you.
It's different styles, and that's why Lynn's having a hard time describing it, because it's completely right. different style. I mean, what she's writing for is for her audience. What Lynn's writing for is for his audience, because when you're talking about adult to teen, a very distinct split. And
yeah, we're getting into a long conversation there. Yeah. Maybe for a later show, but I will say that I do think that her writing style fits very well for her audience. Yeah. I'd like to see what else she does, and if she does anything that's not teen, what it's like. But
this is one I would think I had no problem picking it up for the library. It's an interesting read.
I would definitely read the series. That's what I would like to say about it. I would read the series. That's the best praise I can give. She's got me hooked enough that I will. If she writes a series, Lenny will read the series. So that's what
Lenny's hooked, Nicola. So so I think that's going to be about it. Unless you guys have any other questions?
Nope.
We like to thank Nicola Riley for sending us Drown to read and talk about. It's one of the ones that when I first looked at the cover, I was kind of curious. Maybe we'll see. But I instantly went to Water World, so I
know. And the cover's the worst part. It's totally misleading. I kept waiting for them to put her on a raft and send her out to sea.
True. Well, they did her father,
and maybe so. That's why. And maybe I just ruined it for everyone that hasn't read it.
Well, because it's kind of like
wants people to be waiting for that because it made me even more scared for her.
It's kind of like me and the floaters in the 100. Remember when I told you what I imagined when they kept saying the floaters?
True.
Like I imagined like this room full of water. And that's not what happened.
The space station gets sent out to space.
They opened the hatch, and the person went flying out.
True. So this is one definitely pick up if you're interested in the dystopian type futuristic novels. This is one that's a fairly good read. I enjoyed it. I read the rest of them. Lenny's given it his stamp of approval as well. If you're interested just for yourself, it is out. This came out in 2014, so you could probably pick it up at Hastings or Barnes & Noble or whatever your local book vendor is. Or if you have a hometown bookstore, check them out. They could probably get it in for you. So thank you again, Nicola. And that's going to do it for this go-around. We've had fun visiting. Hope you've had fun listening to us. We will see you the next go-around.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.